a time of rightly dividing the word of truth. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As you know, we have a brand new website and we are set up now. We ask you to go to www.agradio.org. Again, that's agradio.org. And shortly, we will have there for you a way to donate right online if you'd like to support the program. So we're very thankful for your both prayerful and financial support. It's a great blessing to us. We really want to keep these radio broadcasts coming to you. So if these are a blessing to you, do please consider them in your prayers and in your support. Well, we're continuing Revelation chapter 6 today, the four horsemen and those who cry. And I set the scene yesterday with something that happened in Matthew chapter 24. They had heard something that Jesus said when he said to the Jews, when he said to the nation, he said, "Your house is left to you desolate." And they heard that and they were troubled. All of their earthly expectations, nothing was meeting up, nothing was happening. They expected Jesus to come and to be a great political king, to sit in the temple, that he would reign on the earth, that he would judge the nations then. And remember in John 6, they tried to make him king. It wasn't that they rejected his political reign. They wanted that. But Jesus wanted nothing to do with it. So here Jesus stands there and says, this is all going to be destroyed. And the disciples were extremely confused. They come to him and they didn't understand that. Tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. The questions were wrong. They wanted to know when. And you see, Jesus answers what the disciples needed to understand. Why certain phenomenons, why judgments are happening in history. And why nothing of Christ's reign seems to be meeting up with our earthly expectations. Jesus is explaining this. And you see, Jesus answers here what they needed. Remember what he said. What's the thing he started with? Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See to it that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places." And then Jesus said something that we left off with yesterday. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Now, you all know, if you're a man listening today and you've seen a woman give birth, contractions and birth pains are awful for the woman. Wham, one hits. You got a period of time, and then wham, 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 closer, 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 all the way until the baby's born. Jesus uses that very common experience of life to say, that's what this present evil age will be like. It's going to get hit with judgments. Wham. And right before the end, they're going to get closer and closer and closer till it culminates with him coming on the clouds of heaven in fiery judgment. And so Jesus is explaining this. Now, I said yesterday, this is what the world is fighting against. They're trying to stop all this stuff, aren't they? They're trying to prevent wars and rumors of wars. They're trying to prevent economic woe and destruction. They're trying to prevent and study earthquakes so they don't happen, famines, tsunamis. We're all trying to fix this stuff. And so when it happens, we don't know how to process it. You know, how are we? Is this something that Jesus has accepted? Is it something that Jesus wants us to all have peace? Doesn't he want there to be no war? What about earthquakes? Where are those coming from? You know, the world comes together in the midst of these great catastrophes of life, and they unite, don't they? They unite trying to prevent this stuff. They try to overcome this stuff. How many movies have we seen, where we see the movie Armageddon, where Bruce Willis gets up on a spaceship, and he and his team, and they go up because this asteroid's going to hit the Earth and demolish the Earth and wipe out existence, and they drill into it, and they save the Earth. They save, and humanity again unites. They've overcome the woe. How many catastrophes, how many things like 9/11, when everyone united together and is going to overcome these kind of things? How many movies have we seen of this? Destruction and Tommy Lee Jones beating it. Well, this is what Revelation 6 is all explaining for us. Christians have had no perspective through this. Revelation gives it. The last scene in Revelation we left off with was the Lamb seated, having taken the scroll out of the right hand of the Father. And the message there was really powerful. He's the one executing the will of God of all the things that have been decreed that must come to pass before Jesus comes in final judgment. So that's where we are. Verse 1. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the scrolls, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder, "Come and see." So what we have here is that an order is given to the cherubim around the throne, and the four living creatures give a summons. Come. They summon something up to appear. And all of a sudden, a white horseman appears. So the cherubim, by the will of Christ, as written on the seal, remember, these seals are judgments that are falling on the earth. That's what Revelation 6 is describing. So here this horseman is summoned up to go out into the earth and perform the judgment of the seal. Now I'm going to come back to the purpose of this, but let's look into what these judgments are. So in verse 2 we read, "And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering to conquer." What we have here are four horsemen sit out into the earth to execute judgment. Some have said that the first horseman is Christ, but I believe that's all wrong. He comes forth from Christ. Christ is seated on the throne. The cherubim, according to the orders of Christ, have summoned up horsemen. Christ is not sending out himself here. This is not Christ. This horseman goes out into the earth in white, conquering. Now remember, these horsemen are receiving orders from the cherubim. They are evil agents performing Christ's will on the earth. And that's the first thing Revelation wants to communicate to the churches. All the evils that we see on the face of the earth, where's it coming from? This is going to be a shocking message to us, isn't it? Christ is unleashing seal judgments on the earth for rebellion and sin. Remember what Jesus said in the very first thing that the earth would face in Matthew chapter 24? "See to it that no one deceives you." This first horseman here is in white. He wears a crown, and he goes out conquering. What does this represent? This first rider represents what John said, that this is the spirit of the Antichrist that has already come and that is already in the world. The false prophets and the false teachers are represented by this rider who goes out into the earth to conquer by deception and persecution. Remember what the Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 11, that Satan comes and transforms himself into an angel of brightness. He's in white. And his ministers disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. You say that's shocking. I say it absolutely is. The judgments of the Lord are very real. Let me give you a sense of this from the Old Testament. This is where this kind of stuff is taken. 1 Kings 22. Just listen to what happened in 1 Kings 22. "Then Micaiah said," he was a prophet of the Lord, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by, and on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead?" Who's going to tell Ahab to go to fight the battle so that he may die? That's the question. "So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look. Now listen here. The Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Who did it? Shocking, isn't it? God used a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets that came as an angel of light to execute his judgment for Israel not hearing his word. Let me say that again. God used a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets that came as an angel of light to execute his judgment against Israel for not hearing his word. And that helps us understand the first horseman here in Revelation 6. He's in white and he's conquering with deception. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 2. It says the same thing. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Who sends the delusion, dear listener? We need to see things the way that they are. That the escalation of false teachers and false messages that have filled up our day and filled up the pastors and the teachers and the lands is evidence that the white horse is riding. Now you're thinking, why is the Lord allowing that? Hold that thought. We'll answer that this week. So next comes the red horse. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come. Another horse, fiery red, went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, that he should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Now, war will be addressed in the fourth horseman. But notice what he's saying here. This horseman is bringing division, conflict. Notice the language. People will kill one another. There will be sword. This is all metaphoric. It's making the point. Remember, this is being written to persecuted, struggling Christians who can't make sense of all this conflict. Where do you think all the conflict on this earth comes from? That's the question, isn't it? Jesus has made a clear break between his people and those not committed to him. It's this horse, this red horse, that's bringing about all of the persecution that Christians have faced. What is it showing? The division that Christ has brought. That he came to bring not peace, but he said division. And that, Jesus said, when we are persecuted for our faith, we should count ourselves blessed of God. See, what I'm setting us up here today, we'll come back to the rest of these horsemen tomorrow. What I'm setting us up for is to see that all the judgments we're seeing happening on this earth, all the woes and economic woe and death and famines and wars are coming from the throne room in heaven. And the world tries to stop this, but the Lord is telling his church that these things that are happening are all messages of warning that the final judgment is very soon to come. And that the church doesn't have to fear about all these things. They are protected by the Lord through it, so that not one hair can be lost without his will. That's the perspective he wanted for them. He's with them. He will not leave them or forsake them, but will deliver his people.
We thank you for tuning in today. As a listener-supported program, we welcome your prayerful and financial support. To find out more about how you can contribute to these broadcasts, visit our website at www.agradio.org. That's www.agradio.org. Many resources are there for you to learn more about who we are and what we believe. We thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.